I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.
Net. Net positive. What's going on, everybody? Dude, new setup.
Yeah.
We got a new setup.
I love it.
Do people know about it? Or we're not going to go wide. We can't reveal it yet.
They'll see it once we jump in.
Yeah, we can't. Once we introduce the guests,
yes,
they'll see it. I'm not at a desk. Is this my first time?
Not at a desk?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
Now, what do I do? Should I cross my legs?
However you feel most comfortable.
It sees all of me, right?
It sees down to like your waist.
Well, I got like this?
Yep, your knees in there now.
Not this, though.
No, that's kind of pretentious. Much. Yeah,
yeah,
that's like kind of yearbooky.
Yeah, I'm kind of like asking, like, tell us about the political.
Yeah, you would ask a hard hitting question and then assume that pose.
What's the guy at the CNN guy with the white hair? Anderson Cooper. Yeah, I'm Anderson Cooper right
nice.
Now. Yeah, I don't want to be. I want to be chill. I want to be more like Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, laid back.
I want to be Tucker Carlson with his Zen pouch.
Oh, nice. That's the ultimate chill.
He's like chill. He's like, what's up, dude?
God tier chill. There?
Yeah, and he's
the Zen pouch.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we are headed this weekend to. Oh, we got a four topper this weekend, bro.
Nice.
No, we don't. Yeah, no. We do. We're going to Cleveland, Mississippi; Memphis, Tennessee; two shows; St. Louis. Two shows in Fayetteville, North Carolina, baby. April 1st, we're going to Charlotte, North Carolina. And then we're going to Clear Lake, Iowa. Omaha, Nebraska. Kansas City, Missouri. Athens, Georgia. Savannah, Georgia. Augusta, Georgia. Three, Georgia. Top to bottom. Asheville, North Carolina. God's country out there. The Biltmore's there. And then we're going to Jacksonville, Florida. We're going down to Florida for a run. I'm not saying... On the record, I got more Republican fans than Democrat fans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that.
Right.
But we do good in Florida.
Yeah.
We do. All these dates are in it's the Red States tour.
There's a reason three Florida dates.
No, we're going to Fort Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to Grand Junction, Colorado.
Yep.
That's a pretty red. Wait, which one's red? Red's Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boise, Idaho. That's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be out here. This week's guest.
Yeah.
Eric Decker.
Nice man.
One of the great NFL wide receivers.
Yeah.
One of the prolific NFL white wide receivers.
And a big Nashville personality.
Huge Nashville personality. I became buddies with Eric. Me and Jesse James Decker, his wife, and that we started interacting with my jokes. They're both, but we'll get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they grew up religious.
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't know where we met them at, but I lived in Denver when Eric played for the Broncos.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Loved watching him play. He's kind enough to come through. What else is going on? Taylor Swift.
What's up?
Kicked off her weekend.
Yeah.
Kicked off the tour.
Dude.
Huge.
She's going to make all the money.
I love it, dude.
Yeah.
I like Taylor Swift.
I do too.
Here's my thing. Let me just say this before we get going with the episode. Taylor Swift can be in an era.
Explain.
Well, I just see on TikTok a lot of these white girls like, I'm in my Chipotle era. I go, an era, like the Victorian era,
mm-hmm.
the Renaissance. It's like that implies like historical significance.
Right.
Like everybody's like, I'm in my Volkswagen Jetta era. Mm-hmm. I go, well, not to be disrespectful, but like that doesn't qualify as era.
Yeah.
There should be era qualifications.
So, and you think Taylor checks those boxes?
Yeah, no, Taylor Swift has like the... Okay, if Michael Jordan could be like, I had the Chicago Bulls era.
Mm-hmm.
I retired the second Chicago Bulls era.
Yeah.
The
baseball era.
The baseball era. It was a season, but it was like,
yeah.
And then the retirement, I own the
business mogul era.
The Jordan shoe era.
Right.
Like.
The golf era where he's just got his own course.
Yeah, and then he's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
He's
a lot of eras.
Yeah, there's a couple eras. Mm-hmm. Like you, because Alex Lagos have like the podcast era.
Yeah, we're in it.
Yeah, we're in it.
Yeah.
We're in it. Maybe, I don't know if anyone qualifies for more than two in life.
Mm.
But I guess your family was like he was in his
my youth sports era.
He was in his Nashville era.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, loosely.
Sure.
Loose. Yeah. But
what are
like,
your eras?
People are like, I'm in my cutoff jeans era. I go, I'm in my like pony. I'm in my like messy bun, like the dry shampoo era.
Nice.
I go, we're getting a little loose with the eras.
Yeah.
That's all. And because everybody's, oh, that's why I saw that. Because everybody posted in their era, because era is the name of the tour.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Got it.
Right?
I have no idea. Let me check.
I think it's the Eras tour. Yeah. Taylor Swift. I got to stop looking over at Keely when it's things that I think only Keely would know.
Yeah.
But every time I look over there, she does know them.
Well, maybe keep keep looking then. Yeah.
I go, I don't know. Yeah. And then I look over at Keely. She goes, yeah. You're like, technically, you shouldn't be looking over here for this. But she didn't know the answer.
It is the Eras tour.
It's the Eras tour. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So everybody's posting their Eras outfits, I guess. So Taylor's had a couple.
What era is she in now?
Well, she had the country era.
Right.
Right? What eras has she had? Oh, yeah, the boyfriend's era.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the
everything was a breakup
and
song.
Then the payback era. She had the country,
the revenge
America's
era?
Girl. Oh, yeah. Now we do know about a couple of Taylor eras.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a Dolly Parton. Like she had the, you know, the, yeah, and then she's on a different era.
Mm-hmm.
We should, you email us and we'll say if you qualify for the era.
Yeah, send
the
us era your conversation. Era. I like that one.
Eric Decker, great conversation. We just kind of got right into it a little bit, huh?
Yeah, kind of a little rolling start. So
yeah, he brought us some eggs from his farm. We told a story about that at the end, which is funny.
Yeah.
Great conversation. You'll love it. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Decker. Whatever the biggest award show is, if you're the biggest actor of all time, you will get asked. There's going to become a day where you do not get asked anymore.
You're not relevant.
Right? If you're like, who's the guy that does Robert Redford or so, like one of the big, or the biggest actors of all time is getting, right. There will become a day where you don't get the call.
And no one cares about you.
Gosh, dude. Yeah.
But that's where, you know, and again, we've had this conversation earlier, but like having that foundation, and this is kind of what the journey I'm going through right now, but having like that spiritual foundation.
Yeah.
Like it's so in life, everything's measured by, you know, what you've accomplished, what you have, materialistic stuff. But
from
like,
the outside.
From the outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, I've come to this point where it's like, you know what? Like, my worth isn't rooted in like what you think of me or what, the AMC or AMCs, ACMs think of me.
If they invite you or if they don't invite you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I think I'm trying to get to that point and it's obviously an everyday learning curve.
Yeah.
Where it's hard.
They should just try to put it, at least put it in its proper like place. Cause I was even looking on, like I was looking, by the way, Eric Decker, in the studio, baby. Yes, let's
thanks
go.
For having me. Let's go.
All time, one of the all time great NFL wide receivers, prolific football player, high school. We looked up your Wikipedia.
Nice. Is it good?
Yeah. Well, we looked up your Wikipedia, and what stood out to us was you got a 43 on the Wonder League.
Smart.
Is that your smart?
Smart.
Is that your crowning achievement?
That won't go away unless CTE sets on early.
Yeah, yeah, smart.
Wow. Hey, dark early.
Jokes up top, dude.
I mean, it's real.
Yeah.
Wait, but he said he took it, like the average score is like a 19. Is that true? And you got double?
I don't know what the average score is.
For wide receivers, it's 19.7.
Oh, it is. Is it?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't even know what's
I'm
on.
Not your typical wide receiver either. I'm the one in, you know, 8% of, in, you know, being a white guy in the receiver room is.
Hey. Too early.
And this is how we always classify ourselves. We're the token white guy. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
You know? Because we're, you know, truly.
Well, is there, like, I was going to ask this because my buddy had my buddy Will has a kid that's like, you know, he's eight or nine or something like that. And they're moving. His family's moving. And he told his son that they were moving. And he goes, he just was, you know, crestfallen. He goes, this ruins my chances of going to the NBA. Which is like, it's a hilarious story for an 8 year, 9 year old kid. Yeah. But I go, when I think about like Randy Moss or this guy or LeBron, in high school, these guys weren't competitive. They were freaks.
Men above boys.
What, is everybody amongst. In the league like that? At the top is a freak.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it's the level of, I guess, skill.
Yeah.
Is so much tighter. Like, you go to college and you got a couple studs.
I'm already hyped.
Let's go to Alabama, who has a slew of first round draft picks.
Yeah.
You know, you might be, again, men amongst boys, but like, yeah. For the most part, when you get to the NFL, like, the difference is so small, the game becomes
it's,
mental.
Yeah. It's like golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
LeBron's whole thing, too. That's why he's like, I'm student of the game forever, always. Like, that's the only way that you make that separation at that level. It's crazy.
And how about that guy? He's 38. He's like averaging 26.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Eight, just seven, doing like, it.
And he'll average 35 again if he goes to the playoffs. Like, that's
shooting 50%+. I mean, I just don't get how you can be so consistent.
This week's episode brought to you by the one, the only, one of our favorites, ladies and gentlemen. Manscaped.
Our longest running sponsor, I think.
They've been with us since the beginning.
Amazing.
Since the beginning, Manscaped Beard Hedger Pro Kit. I got it. Alex has it.
Mm-hmm.
They have the, obviously you can shave your face now.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
The new Manscaped appliance is the beard trimmer. What's it called?
The Beard Hedger, Beard Hedger Pro Kit. And it's not just the buzzer. It's like they have everything that comes with it. You've heard us talk about it before. Ooh. It's got a titanium coated T blade. It comes with beard shampoo and conditioner.
Not bad.
Have you used the beard oil?
I have it in the, yeah. Well, I've used the shampoo.
Nice.
In the shower and then the oil.
I love the shampoo.
They got you trimmed up.
That's really nice. The oil is a nice little finisher. The beard balm as well. So you can style, shape, moisturize, and tames your beard for a sculpted look to attract any fellows or dames.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
We don't discriminate in 2023.
We don't.
The Manscaped certainly doesn't. I got mine. You get yours. Yeah, man. You want to hit him with the call to action?
Yeah, join us on this manscaping journey. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code NETPOSITIVE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code NETPOSITIVE. Manscaped Beard Hedger Pro Kit. One stroke, one guard.
I feel like because mine, I like it because I have my, it's patchy.
Yeah.
So my beard grows in patchy. So we're doing like a photo shoot this afternoon. So I trim this one more than I do right here.
So you like fade it in a little bit?
Yeah. And then I can, then it all looks even.
Well played.
Yeah, and he had it because we used to go on the road and have to take like all 20 of them.
All the little attachments.
Put them all in the thing and switch it from like a five and then I can just switch it.
Yeah.
Manscaped, baby. Get one. Well, I remember, so we did this like, what was it? Like a celebrity softball tournament or something like that. And they have a bunch of athletes, right? And there's a bunch of actors and musicians and everybody. And this guy, you look, how tall are you?
6'3".
All right, 6'3". I'm 6'2". Kind of. Something depends.
Same.
And we get all out there and they're like, and how much do you weigh?
220.
Okay, I weigh, it's about, you got 50 pounds. But we were just like, everybody's out there because Cortland was out there and like a bunch of, there's other football players.
Was,
and this guy's just mashing home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh yeah, it's different. Yeah. This guy's mashing home runs.
I didn't know you played ball in college too.
You
played baseball, yeah.
In college, yeah. That was actually my first passion was baseball. I wanted to be Kirby Puckett, if you guys
know. Yeah.
Good pick.
Kirby Puckett was.
The same
was.
Age, dude. Yeah, yeah. Kirby Puckett is. Yeah.
So, I mean, I grew up in Minnesota and Twins were and still are the only team I root for forever. And,
yeah, Twins.
Kirby Puckett was like, every day I have his jersey on. I was like left-handed, but I would stand on the right side of the plate because my dad didn't know. And just super confusing.
Thanks, Dad.
But soon figured it out. Like, okay, just go to the other side.
Yeah.
And I love baseball.
And when did you, the first time I ever did stand-up comedy, like I would say the third time, there's like we compete for like the bar tab and the winner won like free nachos or something. But I knew I was good.
Yeah.
Like it from the jump.
What age was that?
I mean, I was 26 when I started.
Yeah.
But did you know you were good?
I knew growing up that I was the better athlete of like my little town. I mean, my town was 3,000 people.
You knew that you're the guy in the town.
Yeah.
Friday night, you go to the frozen yogurt place.
Yeah.
You were the guy.
I was the guy.
Yeah.
It was the pizza.
He goes, I don't want to, was it?
No, you know,
after the games.
I grew up at my amateur baseball field. So our little town had, like, baseball was huge, and Minnesota has amateur leagues that are really big.
Yeah.
And I would sit there and I would do all, you know, I'd do the scoreboard, I'd shake balls, I'd do the bat boy just because I wanted to make some money.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
But during the innings, I would sit there and we play, you know, call it butts up. Like, you throw the
ball. Oh, I know butts up. Yeah.
And then, you know, pickle. Do some races. And I always would be with the older kids, but I'd always compete and beat them. I was like,
I might have something.
I have it.
Like a freshman, you play varsity.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, I had a sister that was older. So that was always my driving force too. Was like, all right, she's a good athlete. I want to be better.
Yeah. And then do you remember any specific like situation when like girls started to be like, what's up? Was it football or baseball?
That the girls came around?
Yeah. That's a wild question, dude. Yeah.
He's like, actually, I was just hot.
That was most of it.
Yeah. I actually had a long-term girlfriend.
Yeah.
I had a high school girlfriend, college. I mean, you're in that environment and like, you know that you're an athlete. So half the people hate you, half the people love you.
Kind of find that mix
of where you are. I mean, I always had, I think, a solid group of people in high school. I still have those friends to this day.
Well, I was going to ask you about the, because you guys came to my show.
Yeah.
And because I was like, well, obviously somebody must have been religious, either you or your wife's family. You guys were.
Both families.
Yeah. Same? Both Catholic?
Both Catholic.
Really? Your parents still?
Yeah. I mean.
That's a big pause. Everybody goes, what? You know,
It is Lent.
Yeah.
And we go to church on Easter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say that definitely, like, I've had, identify more as a Christian, you know, than maybe as a Catholic. I was raised Catholic, but I'm a Christian.
Well, what's funny about that is, and a lot of people our age are like when you have kids, you're trying to like pass some moral code down, right? You're like some kind of, well, we shouldn't cuss. You're like, why? I go, well, there should be some order to and what's crazy.
Respect.
Yeah. Well, me and my girlfriend went to Mexico last year on vacation, and all the like painkillers were all like in the drugstores.
Oh yeah.
And like
easy accessible.
And like at night, the drugstores are at night, like by the bars. So you have like Jason Aldean's, you know, Kid Rock's, and then like a CVS with like all the stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's how it. And then it's
true.
Well, it's weird because we had a weird like moral dilemma because like, now it's you can't do it because it's illegal. Your kids don't drink because it's against the law. Well, what if you remove that? Well, why don't you?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Health benefits.
Yeah.
Addiction issues.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. There you go. Right. Oh, we don't do it because it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's against the rules.
Right.
Yeah. And then you got to learn those things for yourself and you don't.
Well, that's a struggle I had too, was like, obviously being a Catholic, like it's almost like shame. Like, don't do this. But now it's like, let's talk about it. Like, especially and getting real, like with drugs, I mean, everything's laced now. Like, I'm scared to death that my kid takes a, you know.
So you could take an aspirin or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
An aspirin. I'm trying to think of an allergy medicine, Claritin. Yeah. You know, who knows? I mean, if it comes from China, it probably is laced.
And then does that have negative effects on your health and your.
But drugs at that point, alcohol, just having the real conversations about, like, listen, I mean, I drank when I was younger, underage, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's going to happen, but like,
whoa, you guys, be smart Eric about Decker, it. Underage drinking. I always thought that because with like the shame thing from religion is like, I'm 3 years sober now, but when I would drink, that God would be the way we grew up, you're a bad person, you're a bad Christian. Don't say you're a Christian because you're associated, and no Christian would get drunk. And now I feel like God would, if I was at a bar, like I remember this picture at like a Holiday Inn in like Norfolk, like by the airport after a show.
Holiday Inn.
It wasn't like the rap song. I'll tell you that. It was not like the rap song. And I'm sitting there drinking at the bar, right? And I feel like God would be like, man, that's a bummer. Like, I got a better plan for him. And I'm mad at him, though. He's sad. I get that he's sad. I got a better plan for him. I would like to help him, but I'm not mad at him. I'm not going to point the finger at him. That's what I feel like God would be. Yeah, versus like we're going to condemn you to hell or something like that.
Yeah. Well,
you would think the same about your kids, though.
Yeah. But I think like that, to me, like, is so conditional, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't love your kid because he's doing the right thing. Like, you got to love your kid because you decided to have this child and like you love him unconditionally. And I think so much, whether it's sometimes love or if it's, you know, how you look at people, it's just super conditional. And I think that's where, like, as a spiritual foundation, like, you know that God loves you no matter what you do, and we're all sinners and we all make mistakes. Yeah. But as long as you're trying to be on that path of good, like,
what could go wrong? Yeah. What would be the fifth conditional love? What would be the lowest you ever felt as an athlete? Did you drop a ball or something, or did you do something terrible?
Yeah, I think probably.
We got some highlights we're going to show you.
Yeah. Some low lights.
What if we did?
Ooh.
No, he had the least drops. Didn't you, right? In your career, percentage wise, the least drops.
Maybe in college.
Okay.
Towards the end of my career, my last year actually in Tennessee was probably my worst year in terms of catch ratio.
Yeah.
I struggled a little bit. But that like in itself is the end of the game, like a big drop, a stupid mistake, penalty.
Gosh, dude.
Like an onside kick. One time I kind of fumbled one and they recovered it.
Yeah.
Didn't score, thank God, but could have lost that game. Like, those are the lows probably, you know, just disappointing your teammates, disappointing your coaches. And again, I think that's part of like putting so much emphasis on like
performance. Yeah. I wonder how those kickers feel.
Oh, dude.
You ever have one where the guy missed one?
Oh, yes.
And you try to be like, we love you, dude.
I had a high school buddy.
Dude, I can't imagine. I'm just thinking about being in the locker room.
Especially at that level too. Like, I'll give you a high school example. This is a good friend. And like, he missed three extra points. We get it onside. We get on the score. We got a chance to like kick a field goal and win.
Yeah.
And he could redeem himself.
Yeah. And he missed three extra points.
Yeah. And he just, you know, laid an egg. We go home and you could just see like the guilt and
on him.
Yeah. The sadness. And he just like started like smashing mailboxes, you know, just like, well, hey,
he's
just losing it.
Yeah. Yeah. In high school. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, the immaturity that comes with it. But then, the guys that have that opportunity at the highest level, I mean, I can't imagine the pressure.
Yeah.
But that's why the greats are the greats, because they can handle it.
Well, I feel like every time, like, any kind of, like, celebrity or, like, anybody, I bet you feel the same way, gets into any kind of, like, I just read this morning that Amanda Bynes had, like, a psychotic, like, break and was, like, running through the street naked or something like that. And I feel much compassion, or, you know what I'm saying? I always feel myself defending them.
Yep.
Because I go like, man, to get on a punter's like Twitter and be like, you ruined my fantasy, or not even that. Oh, yeah. You ruined my, I'm not an Eagles fan, I'm a Falcons fan, but like,
sorry about that.
Yeah, no, dude, we've had a tough run. But to get on there and like, whatever they're feeling is, they already have the most possible shame.
100%.
You could not add. Well, you could add to it. To add to it is just a. But I guess if you sign that contract, that's part of it.
Well, and that's the thing though with sports, because it's visible. The contracts obviously are out there.
Yeah.
My wife and I talk about this. She's like, if I miss a note on stage, no one's going to care. They probably won't even notice.
But in
sports, like, it's the only arena where, like, they love you 1 minute and then they absolutely despise you the next. And because, I mean, fantasy football is for one reason. Yeah. I mean, social media is obviously at all-time high right now. And just, like, it's easy to get behind the keyboard and be
When did they come after you the worst?
When?
Do you remember?
Mm.
Any specific that it was hot on Twitter after you?
Well, two times I remember. One.
Why were you on there?
One
dude?
Was PG.
Why were you on there?
Oh, like I came after them?
No, why were you on Twitter? You should have been off Twitter. Yeah, that was should have been the week you should have been off
Twitter. I know, I should have been off Twitter. Now, Jess came to save me one time. It was Monday Night Football. Oh, no. I was wide open. Tripped.
Who are you playing for? Broncos.
The Broncos.
Yeah.
Tripped midfield, like over the blade of grass.
Turf monster.
And then Peyton threw a pick six the next play. And I just got hammered. And Jess came to my defense, though.
You were married then?
We were dating.
Oh, you got married. Oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, he tripped on his third leg. You know? So like, thanks. And so to this day, I still,
that does help. It does. You know, you're like, 100%. Well,
I'm like, nowhere near that, but I'll take it. And it saved me. And now it's funny because when I went from Denver to New York, I had a guy in the locker room who's like, let me see that third leg. Like he was waiting.
Like, thanks,
waiting
babe.
To really see if it's real. I'm like, I'm going to underwhelm you here. So down.
I was like, well,
but the next,
at the build up.
The second one was involving like Tebow. And I never really got myself.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
In trouble. But like Jess, you know, would say things early on.
On about you?
Just like she'd be frustrated because like one game, we threw the ball eight times in a game, in an NFL game, eight times.
Oh, and you're. That affects you significantly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In your,
because I hear it in the locker room,
or even
with
your future contracts and all that kind of stuff. You're like, nobody's throwing to me.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, we completed three passes, and like it just was one of those games that was super frustrating.
My.
Like you don't see an NFL game completing just three passes.
Never.
Like
never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think she went on Twitter at that time and said something, and then you know the media's on me, and then it gets to the coaches, and then it gets, I'm like trying to defuse the situation.
And that, was she popular back then?
That was kind of the start of when we had our show. So the popularity was
So then you, it be kind of so
but like you don't touch Tebow, like he is
we know that, bro. Yeah, you could. Why weren't you bowing next to him? Where were you? Didn't he do that?
Kneeling.
Didn't he? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the thing. He would kneel.
He was kneeling before it became trendy.
Yeah. And then all the Christians. Yeah. He was kneeling for a different reason.
Yeah.
He was.
Then all the Christians were like, he's our guy. You were there through those seasons?
Yeah. We got drafted together. I loved him. I'm actually going to his.
I liked him too.
Foundation here this next weekend. But I love to razz him too because he's easily.
Yeah.
You know, you can joke on him.
Oh, well, he was a baseball guy too.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that career?
He got a good sense of humor, though.
So we're in Denver, playoff game. I don't know how we got to the playoffs this season. We were like scored very little points.
I remember this, dude.
But there was like three churches singing homilies as we walked in. Yeah. I'm like, this was like the most profound.
Wait, walking into
moment.
Where?
Like, so
you would walk in?
Our parking lot was like kind of away from the tunnel. We had to walk about 300 yards from the parking lot to underneath the stadium. I swear to God, they were like,
they wore robes.
The robes, yeah.
And they were singing?
Singing homilies.
Like, you didn't get, they weren't hired by the team.
No.
They were just pulled up.
They came out of good faith for Tim. Like, he is the savior. And I'm like, trying to just take it all in. I'm like, you do not see this.
This is wild.
And
wait, would they roast him about it in the locker room?
I mean, he's untouchable. I mean, for sure they would.
Yeah, but
they would say, I mean, he was a good teammate, so it's hard to roast him in the locker room. But from afar, you'd be like,
wow, this is wild,
like,
dude.
Is this Jesus? Like,
is he Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah. You really got to check for a second. Okay, let me just make sure.
There's books written on that season because we had like eight comebacks.
That was the Pittsburgh season, right?
Yeah,
the
Pittsburgh
season. Yeah, the playoff of the flat.
Yeah.
Who's that pass to?
Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, from Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Yes.
CT. Rest in peace.
Okay. Yes. That
was the game that we got the homily sung to us walking in.
Wow. Okay, you did. Yeah. Was that a wild card game?
Yeah, it was a wild card game.
Y'all against the Steelers.
Yep.
Oh, and you were like 8-8 or something, right?
We squeaked in 8-8.
Oh, power of prayer, baby. Power of prayer.
It's true.
That's
it's
awesome.
Wait, so he got. Because I remember at Florida when he was like, we will never, no one will work harder than
speech,
us. And you were in college.
Yeah.
You must have seen that.
Correct.
But y'all weren't, the Minnesota wasn't great.
No.
Yeah.
We were middle of the road.
But you were a freak. Or what were you
We had
doing?
A good offense. Like we had a good.
Couple, yeah, middle of the road. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Did you play Florida in college?
7-5 or something like that.
No. We didn't, no.
No. All right.
Yeah.
So then you get drafted. You both get drafted to Denver?
To Denver.
Okay.
We roomed together for training camp.
Yeah, two white Christian guys. Yeah, you got to be like, dude, oh, and you're a receiver. He's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Both
yeah.
baseball guys, perfect.
Do you get to choose?
No, they choose for you.
So they were like, these two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Made sense.
And then he was he like a just working? Did you like to work as hard as he did?
I mean, that is what amazed me the most. This guy would be out there outrunning receivers with like a weight vest on, like a 45-pound weight vest on, sprinting. I'm like, who is this guy? He's like the Hulk.
And he just
that's why he was so great. I mean, I think from a mechanical standpoint of a quarterback, like obviously he had some flaws, but there's no one that was going to outwork him.
That's incredible, dude. I like stories like that.
Does he have an off switch, or is he always that guy?
I haven't seen an off switch. He is always that guy. And you know, for a while you're like, hey, is this, you know, a facade? And it's like, no,
it's real.
It's just who he is.
I
think he's just like, he knows who he is, you know, and he believes in himself, and he's going to be Tim. Tim is Tim. And like, always smiley, always bubbly, always happy, go lucky. It's just like, man.
Oh, maybe that's just who he is. Yeah, like I always imagined he like finally closes the hotel room door and goes, I hate these people. Or like his stuff in his mouth with pizzas. There's no way. Yeah. And that's what I think, what is, you see someone like that. I mean, remember, I don't know if it was around that time, but you could probably look it up. Remember, did he said he was going to be like a virgin till he got married?
Yeah.
Was that like around?
I was around. I asked him too.
Like, yeah, dude, you did.
I was like, come on.
Look up Ashley Madison, Tim Tebow thing. Cause Ashley Madison is that website where you, it's like a confidential, like you can cheat on your spouse website. And that website offered $1 million if someone could prove that they had sex with Tim Tebow.
Wow.
So basically what they're saying is what you were saying. He was like, I choose to live. Yeah. See, dating website offers $1 million to anyone who can prove. So basically they're saying he's chosen to live like this, right? And let's say a spirituality aside, just the way he chooses to go about the game of football, a guy that's kind of lazy, not lazy, but maybe shows up late, doesn't do the film study, hates a guy like that.
Correct.
Because he is a mirror to – and so when you are – behaving in a way morally, and his guy says, I am choosing to live this way. They hate that.
They do. Because it makes
your whole website and your whole business, you're like, I'm not with that.
Yeah.
And they violently oppose to that.
And it sucks because, like, I don't think I even truly encompass or realize, like, what kind of soul and person he was, you know,
because
a lot of these guys that make it, like, that's your way out of your living situation.
Into the money wise, into the league.
Into the league, whether it's money or it's just situation, like you're surviving. And so the true athletes that make it to the highest level, I feel like, have some trauma they've been through or like have survived. And that was their energy.
Football might have been the only thing they had.
Exactly. That was their vessel.
Okay, yeah, sure.
To getting out of, you know, call it the hood or call it your living situation, whatever it may be. And it's like you get a guy who's wholesome in that sense, who had a good upbringing that I know of, had a good family, had a good spiritual foundation. Like, it's like, wow, this is different. Like, this guy's
different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they go, what box do you put him in? You're like, why? If you're like, I need to get a contract to get my family out of but what's this? This guy's just, he seemed like he had a great life outside of football. And you're like, what is this? Why is this guy, his alarm going off at 4 a.m. and he's drinking chocolate milk and raw eggs? And I don't know what he's doing, but I don't know. Is that what you do? I don't know.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Chocolate milk.
Drinking raw, chocolate milk and raw.
My 4-year old loves chocolate milk.
Yeah, I drank one on the way in here.
Did you?
So good. Well, what happened when Peyton came? Was he there?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that changed the landscape of my career.
Well, what happened with Tim? Did you say, hey, dude, good to see you? Or, Do you remember our conversation?
Yeah, I wasn't around. It was
I don't know why we're getting on Tim Tebow, but I do like, yeah, I didn't.
It was an off-season move, so none of us were at the facility.
Yeah, so nobody was around.
So,
yeah.
You know, like it was kind of like, hey, thanks for everything. Best of luck.
You would see it on TV or something
like that? Yeah, that's kind of how I found out.
Dang.
And then you'd text him.
That's cold. Yeah. Just like ESPN bottom line, like, oh, my guy's gone?
That's sometimes
how you find out. No, I think he was going to stay, right? Or he was never going
to
stay.
Elway always had a plan to get him out, I think. Just because he didn't fit the prototypical.
Yeah, he's not John Elway. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But who drafted him? That was before Elway.
So Josh McDaniels. I
forgot about that. Yeah.
Was the head coach.
Yeah.
Dude. And GM. And then he got canned.
Yeah. Yep.
And Elway came in as GM. And then they brought John Fox.
But you got to secretly be like, bummer for my guy, but like, what's up?
Yeah. Career-wise,
you had to.
For sure.
Yeah.
Good for me coming across the middle right now. Yeah, that'll be nice.
I mean, you could only go in and block a safety so many times a game with Robbie like, listen,
dang, dude. I didn't
sign up for this.
Yeah. Well, that's some of those guys that they're like, you hear that he's like disgruntled, right? You hear that he's not getting the ball enough, not being targeted enough, not whatever. Yeah. And you see the guy kind of sitting on the yard. Would people ever see like Eric Decker's not happy?
I'm sure.
But if he threw three times a game.
I'm sure teammates would say so, but that was the whole receiver group. I mean, we became.
Oh, yeah. Who was in it? Demarius.
Demarius.
You.
Myself. Matt Willis.
Yep. When was Peyton Hillis?
Peyton Hillis was there before me.
Yeah.
Peyton Hillis. I'm trying to think who else was there.
Because
honestly, Tebow was like the fourth receiver one game. He actually lined up at receiver.
Of course he did. Tebow was actually coaching one game.
Was there ever like, I'm not getting the ball, but like he's doing the Lord's work. So like, I got to kind of get out of the way and play my role here.
There was that overwhelming fourth quarter sensation. Like, you know what? This game has been
horrible.
Boring.
Yeah.
Horrible. Like my head's spinning because I've gotten hit by a safety so many times. But it's like, you know what? We're still in this.
Yeah.
And how are we in this game?
For example, like
it's like 12-10 or something like that. Yeah.
12-10.
Like 13-10 or something.
And like Chicago is up honestly by two scores. We're like, yeah, this game's over. Well, they fumbled. We picked it up, scored, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, here we go again. Like you could just feel the presence of Tebow just rising to the top. And the next thing you know, he runs 50 yards, scores a touchdown. We win the ball game. We're like, okay, as like, expected all along. Yeah. Our kicker also had like probably five game winners of like 60-yard field goals. So
boom. What was his name?
Matt Prater.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. He was stud.
Well, I wonder if there's like the easy, like, you know, to give yourself over to something of a spirit of like otherworldly, right? So like some by chance thing happens where you go, there has to be something else. You almost get in this near car wreck, or like if you're, you know, Mark Wahlberg, and you're going to get on that plane that goes into 9/11 and you don't get on it. And you go, even if you're an atheist, you got to be like,
there's something, power.
Something. Yeah. There's something else at work here.
Yeah.
And I think humans have always, religious or not, have been like wanting that.
Yeah.
Or to contextualize your life, there's a good versus an evil, and the good, the prevailing of the good.
Yep.
Yeah. Because the Tebow stuff, like, and I've felt it myself in my own career, is like if the Christian community like embraces you, you become, unfortunately, all humans are still humans, but they knight you almost in a way to like, please be the guy that we want you to be.
You know what? Like, obviously not to get super religious, but like the power of prayer for me too is so real. Yeah. Like it's crazy how when you
put to God or to Tim, who are you praying for?
It was to Tim for about 12 weeks.
Till the passes stopped coming.
They shifted. No, but
true though. You're right. The power. Who are you praying to?
Yeah. That's good. But how, to your point, like the higher power and the just unknown, like again, that's because it's not conditional. You can't control it. Yep. You can't, you know, manipulate it. Like you just have to like say, you know what? I'm here. And it's a vulnerability that people have a hard time with. But like, gosh, it's crazy how in time it's answered. And it's like, you know what? Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And you could classify it however you want, but like it is real and it's powerful.
100%. I think in my own life, and you go, were you given yourself over to make like what I would call the Holy Spirit, they say, hey, this is my plan for the day. If you would like to intervene here, if you have a better plan, or if you'd like lead me in that way, right? Okay. In my conversations, lead me in the plan that you would have for me. Is a strange mindset. You know what I'm saying? Because financially you make different choices with your family, you make different choices, certainly with your kids. You're like, and if you call like the whatever the intuition, or somebody said the Holy Spirit spoke to me, you're like, well, you know, if you're walking down the street and you see someone that's homeless and you have a burden to
serve or help,
something like something other than you, right, outside of yourself, that you're guided by that. And a lot of guys, especially in the league, that you've got all the money, right? You've had all the fame, all the success, and you go, oh, the only thing here is others.
Yeah.
To help others, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, like how selfish we are as a culture or society. Yeah. But like there's no better feeling to serve others, right? I mean, like it's a lost art, because all you're doing is you're in this rat race chasing success, fame, wealth, materials, whatever it is. But like those things fulfill you for a second, but like the true fulfillment, and like you can feel it in your soul.
This man is preaching, bro.
In your body is like when you help others and you see kind of the compounding effect that it has.
This week's episode, ladies and gentlemen, also brought to you by Blinkist, baby. Hit them with it.
Blinkist has a variety of content. They offer over 5,500 titles in 27 different categories.
It's an app, right?
It's an app for anything that you could possibly want to read in the nonfiction world without having to invest like 15 hours of reading an entire book.
I got a funny email about this, but keep going.
I've been using this.
Yeah, you've been into
it. It's sweet. Yeah,
yeah, it's cool. I messed around on it a little bit because I asked the questions about like, because you go, hey, what's that, the Four Quadrants Money, whatever book, they go, you have to read it. I go, that's a significant commitment.
Yeah.
If somebody says, watch this 2.5 minute YouTube video, I'm going to go, when I have time.
Yes.
To read, if somebody asks you to read a book, that's a lot.
That's a big ask.
That's like asking somebody to join your health insurance plan.
Wow.
No, it's too much. Yeah. But with Blinkist, you can get on there, get the highlights. Somebody asked me how many books? 5,000 different books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over 5,500 in 27 different categories. And they all get presented to you in these little bite-sized content pieces, like 15 minutes, 20-minute segments. They're all either, you can read them, or they're an audiobook. It's up to you, but it gives you edutainment. So you're being educated while being entertained at the same time.
Win-win. Somebody emailed and asked if the Bible was on there.
That's hilarious.
It's like,
I don't know the answer. No, I don't think so though.
I was like,
great question.
That's hilarious.
That's a great question.
Funny. Yeah. Very funny. I'm going to go to the call to action.
They also they have Blinkist Connect, which I'm using this with my father right now. So it allows premium users to share your account with another person of your choice. So effectively, it's two accounts for the price of one.
Yeah, boom.
So right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/netpositive to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled Blinkist, Blinkist.com/netpositive for 25% off and a 7-day free trial, Blinkist.com/netpositive. And don't forget, you can also, for a limited time, use that Blinkist Connect feature to share your premium account, where you'll get two premium subscriptions for the price of one.
Get yourself learned. You know, my book's not on there.
Really?
Yeah, because it's autobiographical.
Like, nonfiction?
Yeah, it can't be in there.
Okay.
These are, it's very like self-help, right? It's very like a Malcolm Gladwell type book.
A lot of it is, yeah.
Like it's the book equivalent of like, dude, did you see, what's that book, Winter is Coming? What's that?
That's the Game of Thrones stuff?
Yeah, Game of Thrones. Yeah. What's it like? I'm not a Game of Thrones guy.
Yeah.
So if you're on this, you're like, oh, I get Khaleesi, a bad guy, they got killed. They're like, you know, but it's for obviously.
For nonfiction.
For the knowledge, baby. Let's go.
You ever done much with like teaching football or anything?
I've helped out with all my kids' sports and their friends. I mean, that's kind of my.
Your dad was Eric Decker at the. Yeah, you got to be it. That's it. Yeah. Because all the other dads,
because Ryan Succop is currently playing, and he's got a Super Bowl ring,
yeah,
and he's the guy.
Oh, is he? Dang, you know, his son, you mean?
Yeah,
at what football?
Well, his son is definitely the guy right now. He's super athletic for 7-year-olds, but
the 7-year-old just getting publicity.
Super athletic for 7-year-olds. Yeah.
But you know what's fun is
class we have 39. He's on real good
next week. He's on the pot.
Yeah,
we have him on. Yeah.
Just dangling his feet over the chair and reaching the floor.
It's a juice box.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make is I'm a has-been when you got a current NFL guy that's around. Like,
okay. Oh yeah.
He's the guy. Oh, let me see that Super Bowl ring. Oh, I get to try it on.
He doesn't wear it.
No, he's like,
I was about to say, if he's wearing it out to his kids' practice.
His practice is in his backyard. So.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Well, is there like, if another guy, because like, in comedy, if a kid comes up, he's at Zany's, right? Local open micer, and he goes, hey, could you watch my set and like just help me out with like a couple of these like punch? I'm working on this bit. I can't really find the punchlines in it. Would you mind watching this? I would do that in a second.
Yeah.
Or bring a guy out on the road if he'd proven himself or he was good. If he's like, hey, can you help me with my stand up? I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. But like maybe a guy, because you know how like that documentary Broke or whatever, mm-hmm. that all those guys come into the league and they're all like broke.
30 for 30, yeah.
Yeah, I would be like, I would want to, surely there's a player that would help them with their money. Would anybody?
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's resources through our association.
But you get the gigantic checks.
Yeah.
And I think
that's what I'm finding is maybe my second career or calling is that like how do you invest wisely, because you get in this lifestyle at an early age and it's like, oh cool, I get a car, I get a house, I can get bottle service, I can travel where I want. It's like
service,
that's not sustainable. Right, I mean, you're dropping $30,000 at a Vegas club.
You ever did that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm frugal.
Yeah,
but it's like you worry about those guys because they have so much potential to be set for life and not have to worry about hustling to get another job or, you know, what's next. It's like, okay, well, if I just take care of this.
If you get a $10 million contract and you manage that appropriately, you could live on that the rest of your life.
You think you should, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But it hasn't happened a lot. I mean, the percentage says that 80 out of 100 are probably blown that in a couple of years.
God.
And I had an agent. Had this conversation with one of his clients who made so much money. And he's like, listen, right now your lifestyle or the way you're spending money, you probably have till about 45, 46.
Yeah.
He goes, really? Ah, that's awesome. Our 10 years, like he's okay with that. Like running out in 10 years, what are you going to do next though?
Yeah. Where are you going from there?
Like that's the thought. Like, listen, I mean, that should be a red flag. Hey.
Hey, that's not going to be. Yeah.
Let's.
Well, do you remember any teammates that were like particularly like funny guys making jokes?
Yeah.
Who's the top? Who's the Mount Rushmore funny teammates?
Well, I love Ryan Fitzpatrick is the first that comes to my mind.
Really?
Good dry sense of humor.
Bearded guy.
Big
quarterback.
Guy.
Yeah, he's so funny. Yeah. He's funny.
The journeyman. Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah. He got to. I think he got to have a good sense of humor. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a Harvard guy, too. So, you know, he's a nerd a little bit. Yeah.
But another big Wonderlic guy.
Huge. Big
score on him, yeah.
I think he had like close to a 50.
Yeah. I think he got a 50.
That's what I always say. The comedians are always like, to come down and make humor of this, they have to live up here. Just saying.
Yeah.
He's funny.
He got a 48.
What did John get?
The Wanderlick test?
We got to have you
I'll
take it
before we'll the pod it. Comes out. Yeah. Can you take it?
Yeah.
Can I take it?
Yeah. It's a public one.
Yeah.
Rogers Cromartie, I played with him in Denver. He was like a defensive back.
He's not the guy with that had all the kids.
That's Antonio Cromartie. I play with him too.
Brother?
No, somehow related cousins.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he's funny.
He was hilarious.
Yeah.
Those two are probably the
The guy in the locker. Well, I was always on the tennis team. I never cracked the line. I never contributed. But I was always on the team and I was always like on the bus and just like I was the glue. I like to say I was. Nice. Maybe I wasn't, sure. But I was always funny.
Was
camaraderie is important.
Yeah.
Was Peyton as funny in person as he is on commercials?
Yeah, Peyton had a good dry sense of humor too.
Yeah.
I don't know if I classify him as top two or three, but he definitely was up there. I mean, he's quick witted, super dry, and like he does not care who he razzes. He'll razz you. And I love that.
Really? That's the best. Yeah. I would like, if I got roasted by Peyton Manning, I would think that's an honor.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, yeah, he does. Yeah. And people come after him about his forehead and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that helmet was huge.
Yeah. Listen,
I forgot about that helmet, dude. That Denver helmet.
You're blessed with a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta have a flaw here or there.
Yeah, you gotta have a flaw here or there. Yeah. Well, when you started dating Jesse, you're still playing.
Yeah.
Right?
It was my second year.
Yeah. Oh, so she was in the whole time.
She was, yeah.
Yeah. And they give you trouble about that?
Yeah, I mean, for the show.
Yeah. Having a reality show. Coming into the locker room is a tough sell to the locker room.
What year of your
it
career
is,
was
but
that?
Also then, you know, they come around like, hey, can I get a cameo? You know, it's like,
yeah. So they make fun of you for it.
Last week, you're just. But you want to.
Now you want to be on the show. Yeah.
You didn't come into the league with that, did you?
With the show?
Yeah.
No.
What year was the show?
I forgot about that show, dude. Yeah.
Third year, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you put some numbers on the board already a little bit.
At least had a little respect for the sports.
That's nice.
Otherwise, they wouldn't come around for the
because
there's
might
other
got
guys.
Cut,
yeah,
Travis Kelce. A lot of them have had shows.
Yeah.
Travis was early for him, I think, too.
Did they come? What kind of cameras were coming around the football team?
There
ever
wasn't
or never.
You know what's crazy is reality TV is one of those like super. I want to say super script in the sense of like, hey, today this is what we're gonna do. Like the lead up to our wedding, we're gonna go do the food tasting, look at flowers.
Oh, they're not like just coming around. Yeah.
Let's have this conversation. Yeah. Okay. And then everything within that scene is just like real and authentic. But like the day is scripted, like, hey, this is what we're gonna try to capture today. And so, you know, that's where it's like some days you're like, not feeling it. Okay. Move it to the next day.
Oh, you move the whole shoot.
Yeah. So it's not like the Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey were. They honestly had cameras like posted up in their house and they just took hours of footage and edited it. We gave them like a pretty tight window. Like
today we're going to go grocery shopping or not, something more exciting than that.
Like whatever the
storyline of the show.
Exactly. You captured somehow.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of athletes with their wives do that. Do a show for like a season or two.
Yeah.
There's so many networks to do it on.
Travis Kelce. You know what that made me think of when we talked about this before we came in here? That we should do a...
prank show?
No, we should do and Jesse were going to talk about that. Me and Jesse were talking about doing a prank show.
Nashville would be the best place.
She loves doing that.
Going up and down.
She got a great sense of humor.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she got a good sense of humor. Yeah. We were talking about doing a white receivers draft. All time.
Oh, all time, yeah.
Yeah. Who would you pick first?
Man, this is...
White receivers, all time...
Blitnikoff,
fantasy draft. I'm going... You know who I'm going first?
Yeah.
I would go Wes Welker. My first pick.
Yeah. He's a grinder.
Yeah, he had a big helmet, too.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
He had like 1,000 concussions.
Yeah.
You got to protect that head.
Well, I guess the... because Christian McCaffrey, the same.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the new helmets now look like bobbleheads, but like it's supposed to protect and really spread the impact.
Yeah.
out throughout the helmet, so it doesn't, yeah, you know, zing your brain so much.
And you had a couple?
Well, define a concussion, I guess. That's the one
thing. Hey, I'm not going on record saying this. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but just, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, if you have a, well, back in the day, that was always talking about, you just get hit and then you sit out for a couple of plays and eat some, drink some Sprite.
Well, that's like Brett Favre said, he's had over 1,000.
Yeah, because.
Bro, 1,000 is so many.
Just think about it. If you get hit and you're unconscious, or like, say, you just see stars for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Is that a concussion?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so every hit, you know, like, think of these linemen. Yeah. They're just banging, banging, banging.
All
like
that. Yeah.
You're kind of like, you know, all right, I'm back. Every couple seconds. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of trauma to the head.
Well, I feel like NASCAR, I'm a big race guy.
Yeah.
And they have the same type of thing that the NFL is going through. Is like, well, if you have you see a commercial for Daytona, right? Next Sunday's Daytona 500. What's in the commercial? Wrecks.
Yeah.
And cars flipping over and being on fire. And but then they're like, well, because like a lot, you don't see that in the NFL highlights, like in the promo at least.
Like injuries?
Like, or like getting hard hits.
Yeah.
Used to be a guy just got hit over the middle and his legs go into the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you see touchdowns.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And you don't see it because they can't really say they glorify that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, there's so much money involved in it. So
yeah,
the controversy around it. Yeah. I mean, they've tried to do a good job of player safety.
Wayne, you said you've been public about saying you want your kids to play, right?
Yeah, I'm open to it. I think sports in general offer so much.
Yeah.
For, you know, development of values, characteristics. Like, I truly believe in society, if you either are on a team, sports team, or you join the military, like, those are good foundational
for life. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, here's what we need. Here, this could be applicable to everybody that listens to this podcast. What is your message to parents who got kids in sports?
Nice.
Because all my buddies have kids, and you go, I mean, odds are it's going nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Now, but I would also say the first job I ever had, my boss goes, I love to hire athletes.
Yeah.
And I go, why? He goes, because you could always tell them something that they did wasn't good, and they wouldn't get offended by it. They wouldn't get their feelings hurt by it. They would just go, all right, how do we get it better? They were always very good at taking criticism, working. That's what you're saying.
Yep.
Working with a team, having structure in their life, getting up early, going to practice. But all those parents that are like, after a show at Saturday night, midnight, I was checking into a hotel, and there's a mom and a dad with a girl, got to be 12 years old, a travel softball. And I'm like, what are y'all doing out here? You know, like, what do y'all do? But you'll probably, the day will probably come, you'll do the same. What do you have to say to all those parents that all their kids are in sports?
You know, I always was against specializing because a lot of those travel leagues are so.
Well, you're also good at every sport. So you're like, I'm against specializing. I did get drafted. I got drafted to the NFL and the MLB, but I'm against. Yeah, no, I feel that. Yeah. I had some NBA looks, but yeah.
Regardless, there's so much
nice
translation from one sport to the other. And like, the burnout effect is real when you're sitting there playing 100 games of softball at 10 years old. Like, and that's where I had a hard time with my daughter initially when she got into gymnastics, because it went from recreational to a serious competitive where she's spending 16 hours in the gym a week. I'm like, you're 9 years old. Like, that is a lot. But what I'll say is, like, she loves it. She's the one that comes home from school is like, let's go to the gym. I'm like, well, it's not practice time yet. I want to go early. And so as long as your kid
wants it
and like is finding ways to be in that, you know, environment, you support it. And when the day comes where she's like, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, it's like, all right, you don't have to. I think that support system.
You know, your worth is in, like, because I've seen it in my buddies that like their kid is, and you kind of walk around to the field a little bit.
Yeah, I got the big dog on campus.
Yeah, I got the guy.
Tire pump, baby.
Yeah. And a lot of these parents that necessarily didn't play sports maybe at a high level, like, this is their chance, right? And so they're pushing their kids, and I've seen it so many times. And it's like, remember I helped coach this fifth grade team and I'm talking to these kids in the outfield because we're hitting fly balls. I'm like, how many years have you played baseball? This is my first year. I'm like, oh, well, what made you sign up just so late? He goes, yeah. Well, my dad made me sign up. I'm like, this kid's out here like about to get hurt from a baseball.
Yeah, what are you doing out here? Yeah.
And that's what scares me is like, you know, yep. Forcing these kids in a box, like let them be kids and figure out what their passion is or what excites them, what makes them like, you know, want to keep pursuing whatever that is instead of the other thing where it's like you force them like you have to do this. I'm going to get you lessons. I'm going to get extra work after practice with coach. Yeah. Like
if you want to. Yeah.
That's how a kid resents their parents quickly is if it's forced on them. And so I guess put them in an environment where they can have success. And I think it's all about, well, at least for me in this range of 5 to 11, 12 years old is like, it's gotta be fun. Like you gotta want to like learn the game and be into it and have fun. And then after that, okay, it might get a little bit.
But you were always obsessed with it. Your parents never was like, hey, it's time to sign up. You were ready.
I was ready. And from a young age, like I would be outside. As I think we all were like, hey, go outside, come back at dinner time. But we would be playing baseball, be playing, you know, football. And I had some good friends that were passionate about sports as well. And so it just was easy. And that just kind of was what I knew. And also an avenue for me to.
Well, I guess because your parent, I was going to say, because the parent, like, you know, the kid that's not getting the playing time or the dad that goes, I got some play recommendations for the coach. But your dad never had to say anything to the coach or anything because you were always playing.
Yeah, I mean, he would say stuff to the refs, I guess. He was that guy.
Yeah. He would. Yeah.
I remember vividly in like seventh grade. I think it was middle school. Seventh grade. He would say stuff to me. He'd be like, oh, come on. Like after a game, this was the hardest thing that I kind of had from my dad that I've kind of changed, I guess, as a parent is like after the game, he'd be like, you could have passed better there. You could have caught that one instead of like, oh, hey, great game. Or
he was critical.
Way to score 3 touchdowns in the high school game instead of like, oh, you dropped that one. Yeah, super critical.
Yeah.
I think for me, sports became like chasing that validation from my dad as well. Like that was the way I felt the love because my parents got divorced at a young age.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, another dynamic to sports and how you support your kid is like, don't make that how like they value themselves or how they how you show love.
And it might have been communicated to you like that's not what they meant, but that's how you received it.
That's how I received it.
Because I remember as I played tennis, I wrote this story in my book that my mom told me my dad was coming to my game, my match or something like that. And I was like, and I was good.
Yeah.
And I remember we were playing this team that wasn't that good. You know, say the match started at 4 and I'd have beat this kid in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. And my dad wasn't there yet. So I remember getting down to the kid and waiting for my dad to show up and then coming back and beating the kid.
Whoa.
And it was like a whole like
psyche.
Because I wanted it to win. Of course, my dad wasn't there yet. And that was the message I always say in my parents' defense. That's the message I received. Yeah. That's not the one that they your mom and your dad were both watching or no from different sides of the stadium or no?
Yeah. My dad would always kind of be in the corner, but I guess back to the middle school story, he'd be like, you know, he just kind of like mumbling words. I'd be like, F you, dad. I was like getting pissed off. Cause
you were saying that to him?
Yeah. In the stand. I was just like super immature.
He's like, why is he yelling at that guy? Yeah. He's like second on the team. All the other guys, the lineman or the coach, he's like, yeah, that guy. Yeah.
But like that.
You could hear him.
Oh, yeah. He'd be mumbling at me like, oh, come on. Like, you know, just under his breath, but loud enough for me to hear.
Yeah.
I remember just that one time vividly, like having that exchange of words. But he was a sports guy. And
you remember who you're playing? What the stadium was? Because
no, it was in middle school. So, high school, gymnasium, basketball.
We always talk about in like my book, like those like, what they're called like moments that are, you remember everything about it where, you know, it was very like a traumatic, but like a moment like that, where I remember I said something in high school and it was very like everybody made, I remember where my desk was in the room, who the teacher was, how it looked, like everything about those moments.
Yes. Very visual.
Yeah. You remember everything about it.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I remember being under the hoop, running down the court, obviously the seat The scene was over here in the stands. And just, kind of, I don't know what I said, but it was.
What'd you do? Miss or something? You missed the shot?
I probably turned the ball over, did something. Yeah.
And he could just, he was.
Yeah. And he's just, oh, here we go,
Gosh. Well,
it's that competitive fire that, comes out in certain ways. And I just think as parents, it's like, listen, like, you want to be supportive and you want to push your kids to a point, but like, the coach has got to coach.
Yeah.
And they got to figure it out. Like that's kind of the bottom line to it for me.
And what would your dad say? Like, cause you go on to be in the league and be on to be prolific and be successful. Is he look back and say that was good for you?
He probably would.
It's justified. Him being hard on you.
I think it would be just because there was a motivating factor for me.
Yeah.
I think the hard part too, though, is I know he's proud of me.
Yeah.
It's hard for him to verbalize that.
Same with my dad. Yeah.
And all you want
I know that more than anything that he's proud. Yeah, of course. Yeah. But it's hard. Yeah. Do you tell your dad, you're like, hey, could you come over to the house and just like berate my parenting skills so maybe I could be better? You're like, hey, just come over and be like, what are you doing around this house? And like, yes, sir. Yeah.
Under his breath by the fridge. He's like, this guy. Come on, again with the crayons. Again.
Ladies and gentlemen, back and better than ever. No, they're not back because they've been with us the whole time.
They never left.
Miracle made. Mm. Never left my bed, baby. Never left my bed except when I got to wash them.
Which you only have to do a third of the amount of times you have to wash regular
Way
sheets.
Way less. Yeah. Miracle made sheets, baby. Tell them about it.
Miracle made sheets come with self-cooling properties for better quality sleep. This is my favorite part of them.
I woke up on them an hour ago.
Perfect.
I woke up on them an hour ago.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
And look at how well rested you
are. Look at you, dude. Zoom in. You see any bags in my eyes? No, you don't.
None. No bags. No bags. They are also self-cleaning. Like we just mentioned, these sheets are infused with natural silver that prevents 99.9% of bacterial growth because sheets can get gross.
Yeah.
They can get really gross.
Easy.
So these ones you do not have to wash as frequently and no more gross odors. They also obviously have luxurious comfort and quality. Miracle sheets are luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands.
Yeah.
And they're better for your skin. Stop sleeping on bacteria. Clean sheets mean less bacteria to clog your pores and fewer breakouts and other skin problems.
Yeah. And they don't say never wash them.
No.
That's not they don't say that.
No.
They probably get an email over like, hey, John, you have to wash them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do wash them.
Yeah.
But that's not what a guy that doesn't have a spouse needs. Less personal care.
Yeah.
Don't tell him,
yeah,
hey, you don't have to wash this. Because he's already not doing much.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what I need.
Have you seen the trend on TikTok right now where they're talking about like how it's a stereotypical guy thing to have navy blue sheets?
Yeah. I have seen that. Yeah. What that means, like it's not good.
It's just like a guy thing. Like always have guy sheets.
It's like the equivalent of like cargo shorts.
Nice.
Yeah. Like you go over to a guy's house, navy blue sheets, it's not good.
Always.
Yeah. Because black is like, no one's going to go black.
Right.
But you want to go dark.
Right.
Yeah,
next. For sure. Yeah, because you're assuming you're not going to do laundry for
that. Nah, not doing laundry. But mine are like a silverish gray.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice.
Yep, I love them.
Yeah, mine are nice.
Go to trymiracle.com/netpositive to try it today. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. As always, save over 40% and be sure to use our promo code netpositive at checkout to save even more and get that free 3-towel set. Miracle is also so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund.
Yeah.
Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/netpositive and use the code netpositive to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/netpositive to treat yourself.
I'm gonna wash mine.
Okay.
I'm going to wash mine this week.
I'm
making this commitment on the pod that I'm going to go wash mine this week. Yeah.
See if you're even somehow better rested than you are today.
But do you go, how many in rotation do you have? You're married, but how many in rotation do you have?
Sheets on
your master bedroom? Two?
Two or three probably.
Two or three.
Yeah.
So one goes out. Mm-hmm. You got another one on deck
if
you don't do laundry in time.
Yes.
So So, but I wonder what everybody else does.
If they just have one.
If they have three.
So like you're basically cornering yourself into like, I have to do the laundry today.
You have to take them off, do the laundry that day, get them back on there.
Yeah. Or else you're sleeping
on a bare
mattress.
Well, I only have two because I've done bear mattress before.
I have two.
You have?
Definitely, dude.
Well, you have.
Or just have a, like, just throw a top sheet on top of it.
Yeah.
And just sleep.
Just because you're like dead tired. You got home. All the, you go, nah, just. Would you go? You wouldn't go couch.
Oh,
back
definitely.
In your single days, would you go couch if you had no sheets?
Yeah, dude, I've fallen asleep on the couch within the last week and like just stayed there and woken up at like 4 a.m. Been like, yeah. I should probably.
I think
go to
I
bed.
Have. I think I had two, and now with the miracle, I have three.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a can't hide money situation.
Mm.
Three?
It might be.
In the master?
Yeah.
Now I have two in the guest room because those switch off and people come in. Like if my brother stays one night and then my cousin stays the next night, you just switch them.
Right.
That needs rotation. I gotta get some. I'm gonna get some miracle for the guest.
You start putting your guests on miracle made sheets.
Whoo, might have to do it, baby. Let's go. Well, what is it? We were gonna ask you, what is the difference between the baseball guys and football guys? You ever been asked that before?
I haven't. But I will
baseball
say that
guys,
a huge
I always
difference.
Feel like yeah, because I always feel like I could lose my girl to a baseball guy, not a football guy.
Really.
Yeah. Not now. I'm just saying.
Eric's offended.
He's like, huh. No, because
is
I feel like.
So? Please explain.
No, yeah. Because the football guys, you got the majority. What percentage of that locker room is like linemen and like specialty players? Like 60, 70, 80 probably.
No. 40.
Okay. 30, and then you got
30, 40.
The freak like receivers and the quarterback and like the. If you walk in, I remember in like college, the guys would walk down. You would know two, three of them, maybe because of the helmets. But the baseball guys, well, I was looking over my shoulder for the baseball guys around the university. Yeah, yeah. They carry themselves different.
That's interesting.
You think so or not?
Well, I will say that the mentality is completely different of just what you get from football to baseball. Baseball is one of those sports where I remember during spring training. You know, I'm out there at the baseball field, taking infield, outfield, catching some fly balls, standing there eating seeds, and I can hear the hip hop music and just like banging to the pads,
at,
like
over there at football,
just right across this little pedestrian walkway.
Yeah,
and I'm like, to me, that kind of signifies the difference. You got this like, you know, battle mentality to like this
technical,
this chilly, a very skilled, technical oriented sport where it's like. It is all mine.
Yeah.
There it's all brute. It's like force and fighting. Yeah. So that gives you like a gladiator, like, oh, I'm the man. I got this testosterone where baseball is just like chill and you fail more
they
than you
gotta
succeed.
Be chill. Yeah, yeah.
And kind of have that even keel about yourself.
That was a lot. Of, you know what's the
and
coolest?
And also, let me tell you this. You could scruff rub a baseball guy. You know what I'm saying? Like we go chin to chin.
Yeah, a guy scruff. To another guy?
Yeah.
You want to do that on this podcast? Probably not. You go, what? What does that
new
mean?
Segment we're doing?
What's a scruff rub?
Scruff rub? It's just a little like chin to chin. Just like,
yeah.
It's just for good luck.
Can't do that in baseball. You can't do that in football.
No.
Yeah. You know what's so cool about?
That is a massive difference too.
Well, we were on the baseball team together at the celebrity softball game.
We were.
Did you guys scruff rub or no?
I don't think we got to it.
We didn't know each other that well yet.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was going to ask you because my girlfriend is she's a public figure. She works in the news, right? And so she's so when do you put your foot, when do you say, hey, no more Instagrams? You know what I'm saying? Because Jess, she always wants to do some wild stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah.
Do you ever say, hey, babe, you go for it, all of it?
I'm all in.
Don't tell me this, dude.
We'll sometimes, cut this part out.
Yeah, no, sometimes you'll have to do like photo shoots and it's like a lot, but you do them.
Yeah.
Do you do them?
Yeah.
No matter what?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Does everyone do them?
No.
I mean, you've done some wild shoots.
For sure, dude. I was wearing like kittenish undies the other like month.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Just like packages balled up.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Just pushing the brand, baby.
Pushing the
brand.
Well, yeah, I feel like you gotta do it. Yeah, you got to just like that's, but that's for, but they're all, it looks like they're suggested by her.
Yeah. I mean, she's the creative. I mean, she is like the yin to my yang.
Yeah. And you said, we're going to do this.
Yeah. I'm the guy that's standing in like this out in the garden.
Yeah.
You know, collecting eggs.
Yeah.
Chopping wood.
Yeah. That's what you like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, see.
Where do you draw the line, John?
Well, I'll do pretty much if I know about it. If it's surprised on me, that's when I don't like
it. Let's
to do
talk
it.
About a particular yeah. scenario just so we can work through this no. together.
This is Eric's podcast now.
Oh yeah, you can help me. No, well, one time we hit, it was like a like she'd gotten up early and she was like getting dressed. We were going to breakfast or something, but she was like putting on makeup, but like a lot. Yeah. Like not like taking a she was like up like earlier than I like to get ready and like had a dress that I was like, all right. Like I thought we were just going to like brunch or yeah. whatever. She knows the story. And then we get it was her and a couple of her friends. And then after it was like in a restaurant that there was other people eating. And she's like, can we, and we went into this, like her friend and like a bunch of different like arrangements. You sit here, you stand here, you hold her like this. You let's go over here. Let's do this behind this background. It was probably like 20, wasn't 20 minutes, but it was a lot. And I was like, what was that? And she's like, but she had never posted about us before on Instagram. And she was like, this was my
coming out.
Yeah, but I just didn't know. So right. if she says, hey, after brunch, can we take like 15, 20 minutes to get a couple different shots? I would go, great.
Yeah.
But it was just like
the surprise.
I was like, what? But if for the most part, whatever, however Jesse portrays you, you're good with it.
Yeah, because I think it's always in good light. I mean, obviously, yeah. if she was putting me down or making me look,
yeah,
you know, like an imbecile, obviously
yeah.
different.
But she'd never done that. Yeah,
I am who I am, I guess. Yeah.
Well, what about the what if we're gonna ask about the one time you brought A-Rod to Tinroof?
Oh my gosh,
I've heard a little about this. Wait. Yeah.
That wasn't my idea.
No, every time he takes someone to Tinroof, you go, that wasn't my idea.
Uh-huh.
Wait, was it Broadway or Demumbrian?
Demumbrian.
Bro, what? Yes. You took A-Rod to Tin Roof Demumbrian.
So we're, you know, treating them with a VIP, you know.
How is that involved in any of the VIP
I
plans?
No, I mean.
What year was this?
The thing is Jess has been here since 07. So okay, Tin yeah, Roof yeah. was like the spot, right?
No, Tin Roof is yeah. still the spot.
Is it?
Yeah, dude. Okay. When's the last time you've been out?
The last time I've been to Tin Roof was that time. It didn't feel like the spot anymore. There's a bunch of college kids.
That's why it's so ridiculous
that you pulled up with them, dude.
I know. And Jess like, you know what? Let's go to the spot that like I used to go to all the time.
Wait, this so
awesome.
Your wife.
Yeah, Jess.
And who else? Oh, because you hang with them.
Yeah, him and his nephew.
Well, they were at your house when I was over there. Wasn't somebody was there?
No, that was, that was his assistant.
Okay, yeah, all right, yeah, yeah, Elena. Yeah. All right. So Jesse goes, let's go to Tin Roof. Like, was the 1230 Club around then? Was like,
oh, yeah, it was all around.
This is what, a couple years ago?
This was like last year. Yeah, yeah. We show up and it was pure chaos. I'm like, yes. Oh, shoot.
Of course.
And she knew. She's like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know. Like, but
there's no even like VIP area. No. There's nowhere to you just like at the bar, some guy's ordering like a vodka cranberry and a cheeseburger.
Just
and you're
a
like,
bucket of high noon.
And it's not like he's your Vanderbilt typical student, you know, walking in. He's
yeah.
a big dude.
Yeah.
Obviously.
A-Rod's big.
Yeah. I think he's 6'3".
He's big.
Yeah, 6'3", but he's broad.
Yeah, he's yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a trick. Like, I think, you know, like I've seen a lot of Alex Leinart's, like his content.
Yeah.
It's like very, he's very like, I'm the, not the washed up guy, but he's like very, he's cool with like being kind of like, he goes on to USC campus and be like, you know who Matt
yeah.
Leinart is?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he would ask. And it's like funny because he's like, I feel like it's his way of being at peace with like,
being out of it.
Yeah.
What? He's got a son too that's, I think, going to be a
be good
a player.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of those guys. What kind of fitness regimen you do now?
You know, I just picked up running recently. Yeah, I just started
this
running.
This guy, an all-time
a classic.
Elite yeah. athlete.
A classic workout.
He goes, guys, you know what I'm into? Running. What, a treadmill or outside?
Outside.
You run outside?
Yeah.
That's where all like fitness is right now, though. It's all back to like basic stuff.
Yeah,
it's like doing push-ups.
Move that over there. Yeah. Do that 20 times.
I got a friend in Florida, and I was just with him this past week for spring break. Give me a sec. what's give me some organs in your body. Liver. Intestine. The liver king. There we go. Have you seen the liver king guy?
Yeah.
All right. Well, he's been doing these workouts. I don't know who Liver King is.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's literally doing these workouts. And to your point, it's like, push this sled with weights on your back and on your arms over there. It's like, what are we doing? Like,
what that's are we
like
doing
barbaric to... stuff. Yeah. You know, I just want to like push some weights to maybe the pecs look a little bigger and biceps. I don't really work out.
Pump a little
crazy.
Bit. Yeah. What about stretching. Ice bath?
I'm in ice baths.
You are?
Yeah.
No.
I've been playing basketball too.
Yeah.
That's kind of my competitive outlet. Play basketball in the morning at our kids' school.
Oh, yeah. We play a pretty good bit.
Do you?
Yeah.
Where do you play at?
I play down at a bunch of the country guys.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I feel like.
Let's go.
He's good, though.
You can't invite him, dude.
No, I can't invite Eric Decker.
Yeah.
He's like, who's picking this guy up? Yeah. You're like, we're all playing. And you're like, do you got to go?
And there's only one speed. And I'm like throwing
elbows. See, that's the problem. That's the problem with guys like you, dude. Well, I feel like you're like, you haven't played. And like,
it's not recreational.
Yeah. You could go all the way.
It's, yeah.
You dunk?
I mean, probably not. No, I don't even try anymore.
Yeah. Wait, but I feel like there's a lot of the guys that like.
Layups.
Because I played tennis in high school, walked on at Samford, and then I had like a chance to play my sophomore year, but the recruits were like from like Brazil and Croatia, and I was like, I can't. And then junior year and senior year, I was on the team, contributed, but not like in a meaningful way. And when I was done, I was done. I was like, I took this as far as God had allowed me to take it. And there's some guys that like, would you say maybe they played in high school and they didn't like to go to a university and possibly open themselves up to being cut. They go, I'm not. And then they always kind of are now. Well, like I could throw this stake over that mountain over there. That is that guy.
Yeah, there's still those
but
guys.
You got cut, right?
I retired, but I would have been cut.
So you took it as far as you could take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely did. I probably could have kept playing, but I was mentally and emotionally checked out.
You were.
Because I dealt with injuries. And so I had surgeries, got cut from New York, came to Tennessee, was having a great camp, and had like the worst ankle injury I've ever had. And like just the like effect that does to you.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, here we go again, you know, in the on the therapy table. Early morning, staying after practice for like months and months, and just like, do I really want to do this anymore? I got to that point
where it just
wasn't worth it. And but there's guys that for sure stick. I look at like the XFL. Even if you're in your 30s and you're playing in this like not amateur league, but you're playing in a step under, it's like okay, like when is enough?
It's not like. Yeah, I don't know. You're like the paychecks definitely aren't there.
No.
Right? And you're sacrificing your family and to go to Edmonton or wherever, right?
Yeah.
To chase this to what? Like to get back to the league and then what? Like, right?
For some of these younger guys, it might be a way to put, you know, film in front of scouts and stuff. But if you're, you know, 30 plus year old, if you just love football that much, but like, I have a hard time because you don't get paid that much. You risk getting injured. Obviously, if you have a family, the commitment of being away and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when's the time to move on?
Yeah. But if so much of your, like, kind of stock is in it, right?
Yeah.
And somebody, like, this, like,
that's whatever. Like Tom Brady to an effect. How many rings are enough? I mean, I wish, you know. You go back and like if he retired after the first Super Bowl in Tampa, you know, maybe he's, you know, not divorced and
he did it. Great point.
And he accomplished so much. It's like that pulls so much from just your life. And I think it's a sacrifice for everyone in your life. So,
Well, I mean, it's always a balance because you say what, like when I was talking to my therapist a lot. And then when I was drinking and going down to Broadway and I know, tin roof to Mumbry, that he would go, he asked me one time, he goes, what's like your best case scenario down here? Like, what's the best that could happen? And I was like, all right, there'd be lots of like very attractive women that would be like, I like my validation through like my work. So lots of them would be like, we've seen your videos. We think you're hilarious. We love you. And then like, let's say, I don't know who, like, let's say that like Eric Church was there and he was like, dude, is that John Chris? And then he's like, come over here in our over the velvet rope, come to our side. And then he's like, we're going to get out of here and go to my house. And there's only exclusive, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the best case? So if your therapist is like, what's the best case NFL career? You're like, all right, what, how many rings is like, would you be good? And you realize it's never.
Never. Yep.
Yeah. So there's not really, which goes back to our beginning, because there's not really anything out here, but you can't, like a Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, like that, right?
Yeah.
That's all there is.
I mean,
and then you just, it just keeps getting like more and more. Like I would do like a Dallas, we did like 5,000 people this weekend at my show, which is
incredible,
huge. And there's like somebody at like the arena at like, and I'm like, ugh, which is wild, dude. Right? Cause you're like, dude, oh, when does it like, God has to be like, dude.
Yeah. When's it enough? I mean,
yeah,
you climb that mountain. Like, where is the pinnacle of the mountain for you? And if you get if you get there, is it the arena?
Yeah.
And if you do it once, is that enough for you? Or is it like
climb back up there?
I mean, that's the challenging part about anything. Again, I think it comes down to what culturally we what we perceive as success.
Yeah.
Success is so materialistic, you know, and I think that's the challenging part is like, okay, well, if I just get this ring, okay, well, then I need another one, or I just get this house, or I just get this car, and like that's those are the points. But you get to that point, you're like,
what are we doing?
I don't feel any differently though. Like, I don't feel like super fulfilled. Yeah. Like, okay, great, I can just live life now. Like, that's so hard.
Well, but, I think I saw something on one of maybe Barstool or something that like the best life. I mean, it's obviously not, nobody knows him, but like who won the best like life jackpot was Tony Romo.
Hmm.
But I mean, probably not. Obviously, we don't know, but he like came up, like he's good at golf, right? He's amazing at golf, had unbelievable talent, was the leader of the best franchise, America's team, Jessica Simpson, now retired scratch golfer, still competes and a great commentator.
Yeah.
I'd put Eric Decker up there though. I put him up there. I put you in the top 10.
With Romo?
Yeah. Yeah. So what, did you, never wanted to commentate?
No.
Yeah.
It's not a skill set of mine.
You didn't like it?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I just have a hard time. Like, again, I'm realizing in this like chapter of my life, like I want to find something that is like super fulfilling.
Yeah.
That's like serving back in a sense and obviously financially rewarding, I guess, the same.
Well, you brought me the eggs.
I brought you the
eggs. Is that what you guys do? Can we promote that or no?
Yeah, we definitely can.
You sell them?
No, I don't sell them.
Oh, dang it, dude. Yeah. He brought me six eggs. Eric brought me six eggs from his own coop.
Yeah, my own girls.
They made them?
They dropped them.
I'm going to have them this afternoon.
How many you got?
Got nine right now.
Nice.
This guy's out there.
We've lost a few. Some coyotes out there. Yeah.
Free agency. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come with trade blocks.
Wait, what? We lost some good men out there. Wait, what do you mean?
Playing for the Yankees?
What do you mean? What do you mean the coyotes?
Oh, man.
How do you explain that to your poor children?
I mean, you know what's hard is like,
Forrest. How old's Forrest?
He was three at the time when we started, but he's about to be five in a couple weeks.
Can you explain to him? A chicken got eaten by a coyote, well, dude?
I don't know if
there's feathers all over.
Yeah, I had to pick the feathers up. So we start with five. I got a coop. Everyone got a chicken. They named it. Yeah. Once names on a chicken, that's
tough, dude.
Yeah. And so we lost Forrest's chicken actually first. And so we said we had to give him back, you know, because he wasn't growing properly.
Hopefully he doesn't listen to this pod.
Yeah, hope so.
You blame the chicken? He wasn't growing right.
He had a defect. You know, he just wasn't an environment for him. And then
that's
bad culture fit.
That's you with the Patriots. It wasn't the environment for him.
It definitely wasn't.
I had to give him back. Wait, that's what you said? I bet a lot of parents.
I mean, he's 3 years old. He's just probably like, okay, well, my chicken's back in chicken farm, you know, Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah. What's for breakfast?
Yeah.
We still got eggs or not?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Is this something you talk with Jesse about how to tell him, or do you just you go, I got this one?
I kind of leave it to her. She's a little more creative on how she can.
Yeah, she's
pull,
a little, yeah,
pull
yeah,
a story yeah, together. Yeah. And then we lost two more to a coyote, and the feathers were there. So yeah. I bought 10 more.
10 more chickens?
And 10 more chickens. And yeah. I'm like a free range guy. I'm like, I don't want to cage these things up. Like, I'm going to let them be them. And so the problem
I
was.
I would need them otherwise if they weren't free range.
Exactly. So, yeah. We kept our dogs in the house for the most part because they're like super lazy.
Yeah.
But great dogs.
They need Tim Tebow to come by.
Exactly. So these coyotes sniped probably 8 of the 10 in like a 4-day span.
That's a tough sell.
I saw this grangly looking dog.
Yeah.
Running the back with the chicken. I'm like, oh my God. Just
on
like
the
heartbroken.
Cameras? On the cameras?
In like in real life. Like from the porch.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
And so I finally built this chicken run and we got a few more. Now they're like protected at night. We leave our dogs out so they free range during the day, and it's knock on wood been good. So those are free range eggs you got.
And I got 6 free range eggs. Yeah. And you take your kids to the Titans games?
I've taken them to a few, yeah.
But what happened? But you were one season here, right?
Just 1 year, yep.
Yeah. And then why'd you end up staying here?
Well, we've been here since 2012 on and off. It's been our off-season place because Jess moved here in 07 for her career. And musically, it makes sense. So I love Tennessee. I'm from Minnesota. Wouldn't go back there.
You wouldn't?
No.
Just for Christmas?
Just for Christmas.
Yeah.
To see some
Where's
snow.
Her family at?
They're here now.
Oh, they are?
In Nashville, yeah.
Oh, you're done, dude. You're done, bro. Yeah. You're in Nashville.
If we move, it's going further south because...
Yeah. Because of Trump.
Trump.
No, just kidding, dude. I'm just kidding.
Santos, of course.
I think he's getting arrested today, isn't he?
Allegedly.
Yeah. Is he arrested? Really?
Yeah, allegedly.
That's not why. They're not going to arrest him. Yeah.
Let's see if it's gone down yet.
For what?
I don't know. Yeah. We don't have to get into all that.
Yeah.
We don't. That's why this is the point of the podcast. Where you're like, we should probably wrap this up. And somebody brings
I forgot
up,
to. I have a.
Somebody brings up. Oh, you got to? Oh, my bad, dude. Yeah. Well, what can we look out for? Are the eggs going to come on the market?
Decker's I mean, we can eggs. Make it a real business.
What do
I
they
mean,
call it?
The thing is, like, we can get this and get political as well. Like, I'm trying to, self care at home and be able to produce.
Yeah.
So if all hell breaks loose in America.
Oh yeah. Why don't we start getting into this? Early? We don't have to get into this. You got to go, but you got some stuff out there.
Yeah, there's some stuff.
Yeah. Well, I know where he lives, so if it goes down, I'm coming out there.
Come on,
you take care of me. Eric Decker, man. Thanks for coming aboard.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're the man, dude.
I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. You cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.